Hey everyone, welcome back. We're diving into a topic that I think is often misunderstood. The world of Old Testament prophets. We'll be looking at Dr. Gary Yates and his lecture on the book of Jeremiah to kind of unpack some of the common misunderstandings about these guys. You know, I was thinking about this recently because I read this news story about a preacher who claimed to predict the exact date of the apocalypse. And it just got me thinking, are prophets really just doom and gloom predictors of the future?
Well, that's a great question and a very common assumption. A lot of these misconceptions come from a very surface level understanding of the prophet's roles. Dr. Yates actually makes this really compelling argument against this angry messenger of a raging God stereotype.
Right. Okay, so let's unpack that a little bit. If they weren't just angry messengers, what were they?
Well, think of it this way. Imagine you have a friend who's about to make a terrible decision. You care about them deeply, so you might warn them. Maybe even use strong words because you see the potential for pain and destruction. But your motivation is coming from a place of love and concern, right? That's a helpful analogy, I think, for understanding the prophets.
So tough love, but love nonetheless.
Right.
I can see that. But we do see some pretty intense imagery in the prophetic books, like in Jeremiah, where death is personified, like climbing through windows to claim lives in Judah.
Yeah, those vivid descriptions of impending judgment are definitely there.
Yes.
But if we look closer, we find that even within those harsh warnings, there's a thread of deep love and compassion kind of woven throughout.
Right.
Take, for example, the imagery of Judah being portrayed as an unfaithful wife who's stripped naked. It's harsh, yes, but it's also an expression of God's deep longing for a restored relationship with his people.
It's interesting because it's almost like God, through the prophets, is trying to shake his people awake to the consequences of their actions, but at the same time expressing his unwavering love for them.
Exactly. And this is consistent throughout the prophetic books. We see it in Jeremiah, where God declares his everlasting love, in Hosea, where God expresses reluctance to give up on Ephraim because of his love. Even in Isaiah, amidst pronouncements of judgment, we encounter that very tender image of God as a shepherd, gently guiding his flock.
It's a striking contrast for sure, and it definitely makes me rethink those, you know, those simple notions of an angry God. Now let's move on to another big myth conception about prophets. I think a lot of people, and maybe even you, tend to think of them as primarily fortune tellers, obsessed with predicting the future.
Ah, yes, the prophets as predictors myth.
Right.
It's true. There are instances of them foretelling events, sometimes even centuries in advance.
Right.
But here's the surprising part. Dr. Yates highlights that only a tiny fraction of the prophetic writings actually deal with the distant future. We're talking less than 2% about the Messiah, less than 5% about the New Covenant era, and a mere 1% about events that are still yet to come.
Wow, those statistics are eye-opening. I've definitely fallen into that trap of thinking prophecy was all about predicting the end times.
It's a common misconception, but what's fascinating is that the majority of the prophet's work was what we call foretelling.
Foretelling.
Think of it like this. A doctor can diagnose your current illness based on your symptoms. That's foretelling. They can also predict potential future health risks based on your family history. That's foretelling.
I see.
The prophets were primarily focused on diagnosing the spiritual and social ills of their own time. They were addressing immediate needs and sins of the people, calling them back to a right relationship with God.
So it's less about decoding cryptic messages for clues about the apocalypse and more about understanding how their messages speak to the human condition, our tendencies towards straying from God and the consequences of those choices.
Precisely. And that makes their words incredibly relevant to us today, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Which brings us to that next misconception, the idea that the prophets are irrelevant to us today.
Right.
Dr. Yates strongly disagrees with that, and I think I'm starting to see why.
Their messages might have been directed at specific historical situations, but the issues they addressed, idolatry, social injustice, false worship, are timeless struggles that are woven into the very fabric of human experience.
Okay, so let's dive into these issues one by one.
Okay.
First up, idolatry. The prophets seem to talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
Why was that such a big deal back then?
Well, to understand that, we need to grasp who Bel was in ancient Israel. He was a fertility god, promising prosperity and abundance. The problem was, his worship often involved rituals that went against God's commands.
Right.
And it also often led to social injustice as people prioritized personal gain over caring for the vulnerable.
So it wasn't just about bowing down to a statue.
Right.
It was about a whole system of beliefs and behaviors that went against God's heart.
Exactly. Now, let's fast forward to today. Think about our own culture. What do we see?
Well, we're bombarded with messages that tell us we need more. More money, more possessions, more status.
Right.
It's almost like our entire economic system is built around that insatiable desire for more.
And haven't you noticed how, just like with Baal worship, this pursuit of more often comes at the expense of others?
Yeah.
We see exploitation of workers, environmental degradation, and a widening gap between the rich and the poor.
Wow. When you put it that way, it's almost a direct parallel.
Right.
And it makes me wonder, have I ever fallen into that trap of idolatry without even realizing it? Have I ever prioritized my own comfort or success over the needs of others?
It's a question we all need to ask ourselves. The prophets challenge us to examine our hearts, to identify those subtle ways in which we might be giving our allegiance to something other than God.
Yeah, it's not just about material possessions either, right?
Right. Right. It can be anything that we elevate above God. Our careers, our relationships, our ideologies, even our own sense of self-righteousness. Anything that becomes the driving force in our lives, the thing we're ultimately living for, can become an idol.
That's pretty sobering.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more to explore here.
There is. And that's where we'll pick up in the next part of our deep dive. We'll delve deeper into the themes of social injustice and false worship, and we'll explore what it looks like to apply these prophetic insights to our own lives.
I'm ready for part two. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to our deep dive into the world of Old Testament prophets.
It's great to be back. We've been unpacking some common misconceptions about these fascinating figures. And last time we left off on a rather thought-provoking question.
We did. We asked what those prophets might say if they were suddenly dropped into our modern world.
To be honest, I'm a bit nervous to even consider that. Like, imagine Jeremiah strolling through Times Square or Isaiah navigating a social media feed.
It would certainly be a culture shock, wouldn't it? But let's try to imagine it for a moment. What aspects of our modern life do you think would strike them the most?
Well, building on our discussion about idolatry, I can't help but think they'd be overwhelmed by the sheer excess and consumerism that surrounds us. Remember how Dr. Yates pointed out that ancient Israel's worship of Baal was tied to this promise of material prosperity without any real moral framework?
Yeah, the parallels are striking, aren't they? But recognizing the problem is just the first step.
Right.
The real work lies in actively dismantling those idols in our own lives.
So how do we do that? Where do we even begin?
Well, I think it starts with honest self-reflection. We need to ask ourselves some tough questions, like, what are my deepest desires? What do I truly value? What am I living for?
It's like taking inventory of our hearts, seeing where our priorities lie.
Exactly. And once we identify those potential idols, we can start to dismantle them by intentionally shifting our focus, realigning our priorities with God's values.
So if I realize, for example, that I'm overly attached to, say, material possessions,
right,
it might mean simplifying my lifestyle,
right,
downsizing,
right,
being more intentional about how I spend my money.
That's a great example. Or if you find yourself constantly seeking validation through social media,
right,
it might mean setting boundaries, limiting your screen time, even taking a break from those platforms altogether.
It's about recognizing those things that are vying for our attention.
Yes.
And our affection, and making a conscious choice to,
right,
to put God first.
And remember, this isn't a one-time fix.
Right.
It's an ongoing process of surrender and realignment.
Yeah.
We'll stumble, we'll get distracted, but we keep coming back to that central question. What does it look like to truly live for God in this moment?
Okay, so that's idolatry. Now let's talk about social injustice.
Mm.
The prophets were fierce.
Right.
Advocates for the poor and marginalized. They didn't just talk about it.
Yeah.
They called people to action.
Right. And we see that reflected in the Old Testament law, which is full of commands about caring for the vulnerable, ensuring justice for all, and creating a society where everyone can flourish.
But how do we translate those ancient principles into action in our modern world? I mean, it all feels so overwhelming sometimes.
It can feel that way, but I think the key is to start small, to focus on what we can do within our own spheres of influence.
So it's not about single-handedly solving global poverty, but maybe it's about volunteering at a local soup kitchen, donating to organizations working for justice, or even just having conversations with friends and family about these issues.
Exactly. It's about taking those small steps consistently and allowing them to build momentum.
And it's also about educating ourselves.
Yes.
Right. Understand the systemic issues that contribute to poverty and inequality.
We need to be informed to understand the root causes of injustice so we can advocate for meaningful change.
And we need to listen to the voices of those
who
are most affected by these issues to learn from their experiences and amplify their stories.
Right, because true justice requires empathy, understanding, and a willingness to see the world through the eyes of others.
Okay, so we've covered idolatry and social injustice.
Yes.
Now let's talk about that last big one, false worship. The prophets had a lot to say about empty rituals and outward conformity.
We were constantly challenging people to go deeper, to examine their hearts and align their actions with their beliefs.
So what does true worship look like in our modern context? Is it just about going to church every Sunday?
It's certainly not limited to that. True worship is about cultivating a deep, abiding relationship with God that permeates every aspect of our lives.
It's about allowing our faith to inform our choices, our relationships, how we interact with the world around us.
It's about seeking God's will in all that we do and striving to live in a way that honors Him.
So it's less about performing religious rituals and more about living a life of integrity, compassion, and justice.
Precisely. True worship is a way of life. A posture of the heart that manifests in our actions, our words, and how we treat others.
Wow, this has been such an insightful conversation.
Yeah.
I feel like I have a much deeper understanding of the prophets and their messages.
Me too. And I hope our listeners feel empowered to not only admire these figures from the past, but to actually embody their call to justice, compassion, and authentic faith.
Because ultimately, that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah.
Living out our faith in a way that makes a difference in the world.
Yes. The prophetic call isn't just for a select few. It's for all of us. We're all invited to be agents of hope, healing, and transformation.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I encourage you to reflect on what you've heard.
Yeah.
To identify those areas where you might need to dismantle idols, pursue justice, and deepen your own walk with God.
Let the words of the prophets challenge you, inspire you, and guide you as you seek to live a life that is both meaningful and impactful.
Thank you for joining us on this journey. Until next time, keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep living out the truths that set us free. Welcome back to The Deep Dive. We've been exploring the world of Old Testament prophets, debunking misconceptions, and even imagining what they might say about our modern world.
And now it's time to answer that all-important question. So what? How do we take these ancient prophetic messages and actually apply them to our 21st century lives?
Right, because it's easy to get caught up in the history and the drama.
Yeah.
But the real challenge is figuring out how to actually live out these truths in a way that makes a difference.
Absolutely. So let's revisit those three big issues we've been discussing. Idolatry, social injustice, and false worship. Let's start with idolatry. We talked about how it wasn't just about bowing down to statues. It was about misplaced allegiance.
Right.
About giving our hearts to something other than God.
And you made a really compelling connection between the ancient worship of Baal and our modern obsession with material possessions and status.
The parallels are pretty striking, aren't they? But recognizing the problem is just the first step.
Right.
The real work lies in actively dismantling those idols in our own lives.
So how do we do that? Where do we even begin?
Well, I think it starts with honest self-reflection. We need to ask ourselves some tough questions like, what are my deepest desires? Hmm. What do I truly value? What am I living for?
It's like taking inventory of our hearts, just seeing where our priorities lie.
Exactly. And once we identify those potential idols, then we can start to dismantle them by intentionally shifting our focus, realigning our priorities with God's values.
So if I realize, for example, that I'm overly attached to, say, material possessions, it might mean simplifying my lifestyle, downsizing, being more intentional about how I spend my money.
That's a great example. Or if you find yourself constantly seeking validation through social media, maybe it means setting boundaries, limiting your screen time, or even taking a break from those platforms altogether.
It's about recognizing those things that are vying for our attention and our affection and making a conscious choice to put God first.
Right. And remember, this isn't a one-time fix.
Right.
It's an ongoing process of surrender and realignment. We'll stumble, we'll get distracted, but we keep coming back to that central question. What does it look like to truly live for God in this moment?
Okay, so that's idolatry. Now let's talk about social injustice. The prophets were fierce advocates for the poor and marginalized. They didn't just talk about it. They called people to action.
Right. And we see that reflected in the Old Testament law, which is full of commands about caring for the vulnerable, ensuring justice for all, and creating a society where everyone can flourish.
But how do we translate those ancient principles into action in our modern world? It all feels so overwhelming sometimes.
It can feel that way, but I think the key is to start small. Just focus on what we can do in our own spheres of influence.
So it's not about single-handedly solving global poverty, but maybe it's about volunteering at a local soup kitchen, donating to organizations working for justice, or even having conversations with friends and family about these issues.
Exactly. It's about taking those small steps consistently and allowing them to build momentum.
And it's also about educating ourselves.
Right.
Understanding the systemic issues that contribute to poverty and inequality.
Absolutely. We need to be informed. We need to understand the root causes of injustice so we can advocate for meaningful change.
And we need to listen to the voices of those who are most affected by these issues, learn from their experiences, and amplify their stories.
Right, because true justice requires empathy, understanding, and a willingness to see the world through the eyes of others.
Okay, so we've covered idolatry and social injustice. Now let's talk about that last big one, false worship. The prophets had a lot to say about empty rituals and outward conformity.
They were constantly challenging people to go deeper, to examine their hearts, and to align their actions with their beliefs.
So what does true worship look like then in our modern context? Is it just about going to church every Sunday?
It's certainly not limited to that. True worship is about cultivating a deep, abiding relationship with God that permeates every aspect of our lives.
So it's about allowing our faith to inform our choices.
Yes.
Our relationships, our interactions with the world around us.
It's about seeking God's will in all that we do and striving to live in a way that honors Him.
So it's less about performing these religious rituals and more about living a life of integrity, compassion, and justice.
Precisely. True worship is a way of life.
Yeah.
It's a posture of the heart that manifests in our actions, our words, and how we treat others.
Wow. This has been such an insightful conversation. I feel like I have a much deeper understanding of the prophets and their messages now.
Me too. And I hope our listeners feel empowered to not just admire these figures from the past, but to really embody their call to justice, compassion, and authentic faith.
Because ultimately, that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah.
Living out our faith in a way that makes a difference in the world.
Yes. The prophetic call isn't just for a select few. It's for all of us. We're all invited to be agents of hope, healing, and transformation.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I just want to encourage you to reflect on what you've heard, to identify those areas where you might need to dismantle idols, pursue justice, and deepen your own walk with God.
Let the words of the prophets challenge you, inspire you, and guide you as you seek to live a life that is both meaningful and impactful.
Thank you for joining us on this journey. Until next time, keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep living out the truths that set us free.